Welcome to the Villa Pride Down Under podcast, a brand new podcast brought to you by Aston Villa supporters down in Australia. We're joined by my two hosts, Mr. Cuban Knight, Tess, and Mr. Rhino Watkins.
Hello, everyone.
Good. I've been so excited for this podcast, to be honest with you. I've been excited for such a long time.
Well, boys, yes, we've been prepping the podcast for quite a while now, the last couple of weeks, and we're finally getting it to the table. So how are you keeping, lads?
Yeah, really good. Obviously, season's just finished, but good to be getting back in and talking about the Villa, isn't it?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Jan.
None of us sound Australian, by the way.
No, obviously, this is going to be an Australian-based podcast, but particularly in this episode, you're not going to hear many, many Australian accents, but I can assure you that we're all long-term residents of Australia. Guys, yeah. Before we get into it and get a knock on with our Who We Are podcast, where we kind of get the listeners to know where we're from and how we kind of got to this journey as Aston Villa supporters, so people know who we are going forward. A couple of our listeners will recognise our voices. So we were brought together by Paul Fredrickson on a previous podcast, the Aussie Villains podcast, who we were all kind of regular contributors. And I'm sure I speak for all of us when we say, take a moment to say thanks for Paul for that opportunity. Yeah. We really enjoyed our time there. And hopefully he's given us a platform for the three of us to go on and build something really, really good here.
Yeah. I had really good fun on the podcast with Paul, Up the Villa, the Aussie Villains podcast. So, yeah, big shouts out to Paul. Thank you for having us. And we all look forward to working together again in the near future. It's all not competition. It's all about love and spreading the Villa word.
Yeah, loved our time. Sorry.
No, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, Rainer.
No, I was just going to say, loved our time on that podcast. And we'll be still listening to and into listening to Paul and Josh through the next season as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And guys, the season is over at the moment and we're kind of in that lull of the season where the transfer news is kind of not quite there. There's no signings being made, but the speculation is there and the players are off for holidays and the Euros. So what we're going to do today is we're going to have a chat and we're going to tell us a little bit about yourselves and where we're from and what brought us to Australia. And most importantly, how did your Aston Villa journey start? So Tess, I'll start with you. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Firstly, glad to be on here with you guys. It's going to be an exciting journey for us. My name's Tess. You can find me at Cuban_Knight on social media everywhere. Please don't forget to follow our own Twitter handle, which is Villa Pride Down Under. But my name's Tess. I've been in Australia now for 13 years, I'm going to say. 13 years I've been here now, and fortunately being able to continue supporting Aston Villa over here from such a far distance. But the good thing about also being here is that we get to watch every single match live as it happens, even if it's at 3 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, that's the intro to who I am.
Rhino.
My name's Ryan, otherwise known as Rhino. Been in Melbourne, Australia since 2012, moved across here looking for a better life, as most people do. Now, obviously, been here for 12 years, got a family, two young kids, Claudia, who's 2, and Sunny, who's 5 months old, and really settled in Melbourne. Moved from South Wales. All my family's still back there, but living in South Wales in the rain didn't appeal to me. So I fancied coming over here in the sunshine. I do miss the football being on at a normal time. But as Tess said, we do get to watch, every Villa game. But love living in Australia and just really happy to be doing a podcast with you boys aimed at the Australian villains.
Mate, isn't it always raining in Melbourne as well?
pretty much. I couldn't go straight from the rain into the sun like you boys. I need a bit of a transition period.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
That's why I picked Melbourne, cold and wet. So, yeah.
Look, I started there too. I started in Melbourne before we came up to Brisbane. So I did the same thing as Rhino did.
No, Tess, that's definitely not a Brummie accent. So how did a boy from London end up following Aston Villa? Can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Yeah. Really funny journey, actually. You know, like when you're a kid and stuff, I went to a boarding school in Surrey, just outside of London. And you know, like when you grow up as a kid, all your friends, they all wear Man United kits. Well, back in the when I was a kid, at least, anyway, everyone was wearing Man United kits, Liverpool kits, Arsenal kits. And they weren't really wearing any of the other clubs, so no disrespect. But those were the kind of three like clubs that everyone used to have their tops on and stuff. And I just remember watching a game on TV one time. I can't remember what it was, but it was going towards an FA Cup or a League Cup. It was one of those games, and I was just watching, and I just saw this guy like flying down the wing all the time. He was just flying down, and this is Tony Daly, by the way, flying down the wing, and I was just like, I want to be able to play like he does, you know. And ever since then, I kind of kept an eye on Aston Villa. And then there was a boy in my school, Ian Pennells, I think his name was, and he was a Villa fan. And I used to talk to him about football, and I thought he was really good at football at that age. And it just eventually ended up that I would just follow Villa all the time. And then all of a sudden, I wanted a Villa shirt. And I remember my best friend from boarding school, Hayley, her dad bought me my very first Aston Villa top. And it was the, I can't remember what the year was. It, obviously, in the 90s, it would have been, because we were at school. But do you remember the sort of green, black, red with the muller on the front?
Yeah.
So that stripy, like, it kind of had the stripy one. And so that was my very first Villa top. I was so happy at the time, but I didn't even realize that it was too small. And I'm pretty sure Christine and Terry, who are Haley's parents, will probably be laughing their head off saying, yeah, we got him that top and it was a bit too small for him. But yeah, that was really the beginning of my Villa journey. And just ever since then, just started to watch matches where I could do, or if we couldn't watch the match and you had to watch Match of the Day, then you would be checking to see how Villa did. You know, you want to see Villa play and who did they win against or who did they lose against or whatever it is. But when I first started supporting Villa, they were winning more than they were losing, you know?
Yeah.
What was the year? Actually, I remember the first year the Premier League started, actually. And yeah, the Premier League started and we finished second, and it looked like Villa could have won the league. I think that was the very first year, wasn't it?
Yeah,
92. Yeah. So I remember then as well, seeing Aston Villa, thinking, oh my God, they're going to win the league. They're going to win the league. And then kind of fell apart towards the end of that, didn't it? Or was it?
Yeah,
had games in hand. I'm trying to remember.
We lost a few games late in the season and we kind of finished a few points off then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that was an incredible season watching Aston Villa play. And then, yeah, ever since that kind of time, I was like, well, that's my team now. That's who I'm going to be following all the time. Not Fulham or Chelsea. Yeah,
what part of London are you from, Tess?
So I'm from Fulham. Fulham originally. So I didn't go for Fulham as a football club then, because I wasn't actually in London. Yeah, and 100% didn't go for Chelsea at that time as well, because Chelsea weren't anybody at that particular time, to be honest with you, in terms of their status. What is the status considered at the moment? But yeah, interestingly, I didn't go to school in a London. And so I didn't feel like I had an allegiance to follow one of these London clubs. It was just, I was out in Surrey and I just thought, I'm going to pick a team that I like and not that everyone else is just following, you know. I didn't want to be a glory hunter. And people got called that quite a lot if you all of a sudden were wearing Man United tops or Liverpool tops. But then, you know, I had an Aston Villa top, and so half the time you'd have people like having a go at you because if you're an Aston Villa supporter, and there weren't many in my boarding school for sure.
Yeah, and then what age did you kind of move over to Australia then, Tess?
So what am I now? Yeah, so around 30s, I moved over to Australia and moved over my partner. So I met my partner in London. I was a DJ for a living at the time, to be honest with you. So I met my partner in London. She was stayed in London for probably 9 years, maybe 9-10 years. And then she said, oh, we're going to move to Australia. So we did that. And so here we are now. We've got a family as well. We've got two young kids, two girls, Hope and Pia. And now we live in Brisbane. So it's nice and warm up here. From Melbourne, we lived in Melbourne for a while. And in the winter time, it would just kill me because it was like no different to being in London. Hey, it was just like,
a little piece of rhino just died. Yeah.
I can wear a t-shirt in the winter. I can walk around in Brisbane and have a t-shirt on, and still feel a bit cold in the winter. But it's you can still wear a t-shirt out, and it's nice temperature, right?
Yeah, fantastic. And Ryan, about yourself, obviously, clearly that's not a Brummie accent either, and you've explained you're from Wales. So how did the Welsh wizard become a football fan of Aston Villa?
Well, football for me wasn't number one when I was growing up, because I'm from a small town called Pontypridd, which is 20 minutes outside Cardiff, so South Wales, near the valleys. And rugby union was just had a massive stranglehold of that area. So when we were in school, we always played rugby. Football was always an afterthought. Yeah. So I was mad into rugby growing up. And then as a lad on top of my, lived in the same street as me, was a Villa supporter. And I think it was 94-95, so it was just after we'd won the League Cup against Man United. I was hanging out with this fella, starting to play a little bit of football, and I remember him showing me a replay of the Cup final. I was like, oh, you know, Villa, something different. Everyone's a Man United supporter or a Liverpool supporter. So I kind of wanted to go against the grain a little bit, support someone else. And, you know, Villa just won a cup final. So I thought, oh, this is good. Get on a team that's going to be successful. And I wouldn't mind, you know, a bit of silverware every year. You know, this will suit me. But, so I sort of switched then to following Villa. And it was the 94-95 season I really started getting interested in football. And, you know, everyone always asks me, how come you didn't support Cardiff or Swansea or even Wrexham to a degree? And for me, when I was growing up, all three teams were in the lower divisions, like the old Division 3, Division 2. And there was no footage, or you couldn't really watch football that easily back when we were kids. You know, we had Sky Sports, but, you know, they weren't showing lower leagues. So there wasn't much interest in those teams. And everyone supported a Premier League team. And I just picked Villa as my team, to be honest. And, yeah, have, you know, that fallacy of thinking you're going to win things didn't really work out for me too well.
Yeah. But you mentioned to me before as well off camera that you've done quite a few school trips.
So our school, for some reason, used to do a school trip once a season, I think it was. Maybe twice. It was probably once a season up to Villa Park, because Villa were the closest Premier League team to us in South Wales. So they'd get a few schools together on different buses and take kids up to the games, which is, you know, a really good initiative. And I don't think it was that expensive, to be honest. I can't remember. My parents obviously paid, but it wasn't expensive. I think Coventry was the next closest Premier League team at the time. But, you know, so I remember going up to Villa Park a few times during school, and that just sort of cemented it then, you know, going to Villa games, just, you know, being in the crowd and just being with your mates. Most of my mates who were there weren't Villa supporters, but would just come to the games anyway, because, you know, you're going to a Premier League game, and just going to watch the Villa fairly regularly, maybe once a season I would go up there with the school. But yeah, loved every minute of it. And then I've got a younger brother in Wales then who's about, how old is he? But he's quite a bit younger, 8 years younger. So I've obviously bestowed the Villa on him. And yes, he's a massive Villa supporter as well now. And yeah, he actually goes to a lot of the games. He's back in Wales. And I think he went to all the home Europa League ties this year. So I sort of, got him on board as well.
Excellent. Good. That's good. Older brother direction you gave him there.
I had to. I couldn't let him support anyone else. There's no way that was happening.
Not in my household. Don't you dare.
Yeah.
How long is the journey from, say, your home place to Villa Park now? How long would the drive be?
Oh, 2.5 to 3 hours by car one way. So every time I go back to Wales, which is maybe once every 2 years, I'll go up there with my brother and my partner, Danny. My brother usually drives us up so I can have a few beers at the game. But
good man.
And then, we went back 2 years ago, and a little story. We were we went to watch Villa Arsenal at Villa Park, and we'd lost 3-2 as the game went. Martinez scored an own goal, bounced off his back and went in. So anyway, we're in the pub afterwards having a couple of beers. My brother had a couple as well, but enough to safely drive home. I remember being in the car with him. And I'm thinking, driving down the motorway, been in the car for like 2 hours. I'm like, I don't recognize any of the places on these signs. I'm like, where are we going? Like, you know, we're supposed to be heading towards South Wales. We're heading towards the north of England. I was like, by the time I'd Googled it, we'd already gone an hour and a half the wrong way. So the trip home from... we didn't get home till like gone midnight. We'd been going the wrong way for like an hour and a half. So yeah, anyway, last time my brother drives up to Villa Park.
Do you know what probably happened? You know, because he's your younger brother and you convinced him to be a Villa fan. When you moved to Australia, Villa were probably having their worst seasons in years.
They were. Nah,
come here. I'm going a bit further north. I'm going to be a Liverpool fan. He just forgot he was driving. He just forgot he was driving to Villa Park with you in the car the last time.
He's had enough. I've had enough of it. I'm changing over now. Oh dear!
Brilliant. Yeah. So anything else you want to talk about, Tess, in your journey? Is there anything that sticks out from your childhood regards your journey with Villa?
No, my journey with Villa started quite late in you know, like when kids would normally have a team when they're, you know, turn two or three, or they've already got a team. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a team at all in growing up. So when I was, it would have been when I was like 13 or something like that, 13 or 14, that I only really started actually having a football team to follow. Like before that, I would just watch football and not have any sort of allegiances or anything like that. That's about it. What about you, Stud?
More fun times, I'd say. Sorry, Tess.
Yeah. Tell us about your journey. And so, like, first of all, I guess the best thing is we need to know who you are, why you're here. Who are you? I think this is what we call the first episode of our podcast, shall we? Who are you? So we're all introducing ourselves. Perfect. So tell us a bit about the beginning for you, Spud.
Well, I suppose you don't need to be detectives to figure out I'm not from Australia either originally, but I was born in Cork in Ireland in 1985, and I actually kind of grew up in a household where my dad was a Scouser, absolutely Everton mad. Before he moved to Ireland, would have been a season ticket holder at Goodison Park for a long, long time. My mother, she's Irish, she's from Cork. And then obviously in the 80s, Liverpool won everything. So there's a massive generation of Liverpool fans in Ireland from the 80s when they were very successful, as there was for United in the 90s. So I actually grew up in a household where all my dad's side of the family were Evertonians and all my mum's side of the family were Liverpoolians. So all my mum's brothers, they're all Liverpool supporters. Everyone kind of asked me, how did you not end up like being an Everton or a Liverpool fan? And I suppose, like, my dad, like, we never really kind of shoved the Everton thing onto me. You know, we just kind of loved football together. And I was the same as yourselves. I went to a school where majority of my friends were United fans because United were the dominant team in the 90s when I was getting into football. And same as yourself, Tess, that first year in the Premier League, Villa and United were both going really well, and everybody in the school, like in the school, is going for United. So I just kind of, I was a couple of Irish playing with Villa, not as much as there would be in the following couple of years, but at home I was talking to my dad and I was like, oh, I really like this Villa team. And my dad's shared love really came. I in the early 90s, Italian football was probably what the Premier League was now, and it was really big in Ireland, and I'm sure it was in England as well, because you'd watch it on Channel 4 and that. And our kind of shared love at the time came from AC Milan when I was really young. That, you know, that brilliant Milan team of Van Basten, Rijkaard, Hullet, then onto like Donadoni and stuff. So I suppose that's probably why he never really pushed the Everton thing onto me, because we kind of had a bit of a shared love for the Italian. As I got older, I kind of moved away from that. But that was just when I was getting really into football. You know, I loved that Italian team. And then I started watching the Villa, and I kind of thought, you know, everyone is going for United, I'm going to go for Villa here in this league title race, you know. Obviously, they pipped us. And then 93, it kind of started to grow. And one famous Irishman signed for Villa and won the player of the year that year, Paul McGrath, 93. And
yes,
I think he's still to this day the only centre-back to have won the player of the year, so in the Premier League era. So Then and then it got to 94 and I was kind of getting a bit older. I was starting to really understand football and kind of starting to appreciate what it was for. It was not more just as a rivalry at my friends at school. It was, I was starting to take a real, real keen interest. Like AC Milan at the time were really good in 94 when Champions or European Cups, and Villa were just starting to really build a really good team and under Ron Atkinson. And we had a lot of Irish playing with us that time. We had like Andy Townsend, Paul McGrath, Ray Houghton, Steve Staunton. And in the same year, Ireland went really well at the World Cup in 94. And it's a memory that kind of sticks with me a long time. A lot of the main players in that team were from Villa. So I'd already followed Villa at that time, but that's where my real kind of love grew for it, because the country was just going mad in Ireland, like for Ireland at the World Cup. We beat Italy at Giant Stadium in 94. And to this day, it's still probably the single best performance I've ever seen out of anyone with Paul McGrath. His performance that day was unbelievable. And I just kind of fell in love with Villa from there on in. We kind of stopped United winning the treble, which always helps in my love grow as well. And I suppose from there, then we won the 96 World, the 96 Coca-Cola Cup under Brian Nettle. So that was like two Coca-Cola Cups in 3 years. And I was like 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever it was. And I was like, wow, this is like, I get used to this, you know what I mean? And amazingly, that's the last trophy I've ever seen us win. I love my time as a Villa fan. And then when I turned about 23, I decided to move to Australia with a couple of friends of mine. And I was football nut at this stage. Like, and to be honest with you, lads, you might laugh, but it was one of the things that was kind of holding me back about going to Australia a little bit. Like, I was so worried because I didn't really know much about Australia at the time. I loved the idea of going to Australia, but it was never really known as a massive football country. And I was kind of worried that I'm not going to be able to follow the football as much when I go over there, you know? I know it sounds a bit weird, like, but that's just how much I was into the football, you know? I thought, look, I'll go over and I'll give it a go for a year anyway. And we landed over anyway. And we knew we were moving into a house because friends of ours had been there for a year beforehand, and they were staying in this house where there had been two Chinese students had the last room, but they were moving out 4 or 5 weeks later, and they had sorted with the landlady that me and my mate had come over to us would get that room. So there'd be actually about 10 of us from our hometown living together then in this big house. Like, so we were like, that's brilliant. House is set up. Jobs are going to be easy to come by. So we stayed in a backpacker hostel for 4 or 5 weeks. And like, it was brilliant. Best decision we made, like, because it's real fun, you know, it's on the beer all the time. But the first night we checked into the hostel, it was the first weekend of the Premier League in 2008. It was on the 15th of August and 15th or 16th of August. And I went into the hostel and we checked in or whatever and put our bags up and we went down to the hostel bar for a beer, you know. Stayed there drinking until about 9 or 10 o'clock. And my mate that was with me was a massive Man United fan, and I was a massive Villa fan. And then he was like, come on, we'll have to head out around the city and try and see, can we find the matches anywhere? But the barman in the hostel overheard us saying, he's like, oh, just go downstairs. Just go, all the lads are watching the football below in the hostel. And I was like, what's going on here? So we walked downstairs anyway with our beer in the hostel. Loads of lads like sitting down like with the Man United game just about to come on at 10 p.m. And I was like, whoa, this is unreal. And it was Foxtel at the time. So we got talking to this guy from Armagh, and he was like from the north of Ireland, like, and he was really nice guy and a big United fan. He was in the jersey, so we kind of went over, started talking to him, and he was like, oh, so how are you able to watch the game? He was like, oh, lads, that's the best thing about here. He says, you get to watch every game you want. He said, you're a Villa fan, yeah? He said, you'll be able to watch more Villa games over here on TV than you ever did in Ireland. Same Man United. I was like, ah, this guy. Next thing, he brought up the list of Foxtel, and it was all the games. You just click which one you wanted. So straight away, I was like, right, this is going to work for me, Australia.
They've got a TV. They've got Foxtel.
Watch all the games, you know. And so about 4 weeks later, anyway, we moved into the houses and we're broke now after parting for 4 weeks and started a job. And it was kind of getting towards the end of August, start of September. So it was springtime in Australia. And I got this job with a couple of bricklayers. And like, there was about eight in the crew. It was my first job there, and I started on a Tuesday, and I think it was like 26, 27 degrees, which in Perth, that's not a lot, but for me, it was really warm, like, you know. So we got to the Friday, and at 1 o'clock, we finished on a Friday, and it was my first week there. So I grabbed my lunch bag and said goodbye to the lads, and the Aussie lads are like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going home, aren't we finished? And he was like, oh, no, hang on, like, the boss will be back there in a minute. He's like, right, it was a really sunny day. About 20 minutes later, the boss came in, wheelbarrow full of beer with bottles of ice in this wheelbarrow and carrying a load of meat and a portable barbecue. I was like, what is going on here? And the lads were like, oh yeah, every Friday he lays on a few beers. Like, that's why we finish early on the Friday. And I was thinking, right, that's it. I'm never leaving this place. And I never did. And so I was like, it was perfect for me because I was like, I can follow as much football as I want. And yeah, and you know, it's sunny and stuff. And yeah, I settled in Australia straight away then after my month. So once I knew I could follow the Villa from here, I was happy. I'd settle anywhere once I could match football. And that's just me, you know?
Yeah. And so obviously you've got family here now in Australia and stuff. So just briefly, I guess, how did that come about? Is your wife a Villa fan?
No, my wife is not a Villa fan, but I have two kids who will have no choice but to be a Villa fans. Yeah, so my wife is Australian, or my soon-to-be wife. We're getting married in November, but she's Australian. So as I mentioned, there was 10 of us from home that came in like within 12 months in 2008, but there's only the two lads that met the Aussie women that are left. So I met her in 2012. And we have two kids now, a boy, Ali, and a little girl, Evine. So, yeah, pretty settled here now. Get to watch all my Villa games and, yeah, can't complain too much now about life over here, to be honest.
Yeah,
I've got a question for you, Spud, and it's something I don't know. And obviously, I know you as Spud, but where did that nickname come from? Have you had it a long time? Is it, you know, how did that come about?
Yeah.
Oh, this name has followed me from Ireland to here. So when I was younger, I used to work in, like when I was in school, I used to have an after school job. We used to get a half day on a Wednesday in school. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday, we used to do an extra half an hour. And then they'd give you a half day on a Wednesday from school. So for an after school job and on a Saturday, I used to work in these glass houses, you know, the greenhouses, like cutting lettuce and all that. But all my mates used to say that I worked in a spud factory. You know, nothing to do with spuds. Like, the early nicknames develop in Ireland. Like, everyone just started calling me Spud. Like, and honestly, no lads, there's friends of mine that would struggle to know my real name. Like, if it wasn't for social media, they probably wouldn't know my real name.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. That is brilliant.
I think also we put on the pod here that we put that your name was Spud. We didn't actually put what your actual name is. We've all put our nicknames on here.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what we're known as, kind of, isn't it? Like, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And some of the listeners would have already heard our voices before from, as we said earlier on in the previous podcast. So it's just nice to actually visually be able to see everybody on this new venture.
I must say one thing that did surprise me and something that was made me very happy when I came to Australia is how into football they were and like how many expats were here. And like, you know yourself from like the tour when Villa came down under and stuff, how many Villa fans are actually here. It's huge. Like.
Yeah, it's massive. And in Melbourne, there's lots of supporters clubs here that are really active, not just the Villa Supporters Club in Melbourne, but, you know, Liverpool have got a big presence here, Man United, obviously, Spurs. Yeah. There's some really good clubs getting out in Melbourne and, you know, big groups that go and watch the games in, you know, the Imperial or the Charles Dickens. And, you know, if you're moving to Australia or if you're really into your football, I'd suggest getting on Facebook, looking up the different supporters clubs, because it's one of the best places you can go to meet, you know, like-minded football fans and people who live in the city, and you can have a few beers and talk about, you know, your team. So yeah, I definitely recommend that.
Yeah,
one of you want to explain how us three met? That might be a good thing to mention, because obviously we're in Australia and at the time Aston Villa were coming for a pre-season friendly under the previous manager. What do one of you want to tell the listeners how we met?
Well, I guess we sort of all got different angles here, because Villa obviously playing Leeds in Brisbane, so I flew up with my partner Danny, who's a Villa supporter as well, and then my daughter was, she would have been about one and a half, so we flew up for the game, and I bought the tickets, and I will go to the game, but my daughter was sick on the day of the game, so Danny stayed with my daughter at the hotel, and then I said, oh, I'll just go to the pub. I can't remember what the pub was called, boys, but So I just said to my missus, I said, I just jumped on Twitter before I left the hotel, and you know, Aussie villains were posting saying they're going to be at the Paddo and da da da. And I thought, oh, I'll just go to this, the pub, just go and chat with fellow Villa supporters. So anyway, I get there. It's not particularly full. I get there nice and early, obviously, like a few beers before the game. So the earlier the better for me. But, and I see the guy who's posting the Aussie villain stuff, and it's Paul, who we used to do the podcast with. And I thought, oh, I'll just go up and say hello, introduce myself, been seeing his posts and just, you know, someone to talk to. And that was it. Got started talking to Paul. He's like, come and, he had a table in the Paddo. He's like, come and stay, you know, sit on the table with us. I'm meeting someone else. I think it was you, Tez.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then a lot of Villa fans started filtering in, and it was just a cracking day. Sun was out, beers flowing, and that was it for me. I just sort of sat on that table with Paul and Tez, and then Spud was floating by quite close with your mate, Gary, and just got started talking to everyone. And, yeah, brilliant day. Went to the game, went back to the pub after and carried on. So, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, for me as well, like because before I'd met you in the pub in Brisbane, Paul had put a post up on the Aston Villa Facebook page and the Aston Villa supporters in Australia Facebook page, and he had asked, like, he was looking for guests to come on his podcast, and someone tagged me in it and said, oh, Spud, you should go on and tell him your story about when you flew back for the game for COVID for the Chelsea and Villa game when it got cancelled when I flew back. So I contacted Paul. I said, look, I'll jump on for a chat if you want or whatever, like, you know. So I actually went on and I'd done like a podcast with Paul where he was just kind of interviewing me more than actually me being on the podcast with him, you know, where we had a chat about the football or whatever. But because it was audio, I had no idea what he looked like. And so I'd never seen his face. And we obviously talked about like the Brisbane Villa Leeds game coming over, but like we never arranged anything. And there was a lot of people in the pub that day. And me and my mate Gary walked in, and there was a space at the end of a table. And I sat down, we grabbed the last space at the end of that table, and we were having a few beers, me and Gary. Next minute, I just heard this voice talking next to me. And I was like, I recognize that voice. It was from the audio. It was Paul. And I turned around. And I was like, not Paul Fredrickson by the chance. I was like, ah, oh, you must be Spud, the Irish accent. And that's how I met Paul. And then he introduced me to you two lads. And before the game had even kicked off, we'd planned a podcast.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right.
Paul had invited us before the game, decided on it.
Yeah.
Paul had invited us to be contributors on his podcast then, so...
Yeah. I think my story, yeah, very similar, except that I reached out, I listened to Paul's pod, because he did the podcast on his own, Aussie Villains, by the way. At Aussie Villains, if you guys should check it out. But I remember listening to him, and I was like thinking, oh, I would love to actually get on to a podcast or do a podcast and talk about Villa. Like, you don't really have many podcasts from an Australian perspective where we are here all the time. We get to watch all of the games and we can offer an insight here. We've got a lot of Australian supporters here. Like, for example, when I sent him a message and I was like, hey, look, I'm trying to do a podcast about Aston Villa, but would love to jump on with you maybe in the new season or something like that if you're keen to have anyone on to do the podcast with you. And he was like, yeah, for sure. And we were like just messaging each other. And then I got this message to say, Aston Villa are coming to Brisbane and they're playing against Leeds. Do you want to go? But at the same time, I think I had sent him a message showing him the advert for it. So then he was like, oh, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah. Like, and he's like, all right, I'll buy the tickets. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just send you the money. Never met him before, by the way. It was just through messaging him. So he said, all right, no worries, I'll get the tickets. So he got the tickets, and then like literally that same day I just transferred him the money. Never had met him before, but I just trusted him. Like, I was just like,
brilliant.
No worries, I'm going to see Villa. If they're in Australia, I'm going to see them. Like, I'm not missing out on that. And then so we messaged each other and stuff, and I said, right, let's just meet up at the Paddy before, we'll have a few drinks and whatnot, and then we'll go to the game together and whatever. And so I get to the Paddo, the pub, which is in Paddington, in Brisbane. And I could hear him, like, talking to someone. I don't actually know if he knew the person, but he was talking to someone. But, you know, when you go to... One thing I've noticed about being a Villa supporter, that when you come across other Villa supporters, there's always so much love. Like, it's always... There's never, like... It's always, like, we're wearing the same shirt here. We're representing the crest, you know, like... This is what we do. And there's so much love and stuff. So I was also the amount of Villa supporters that were in that pub, like, took over the pub. It was hectic. It wasn't just, like, you know, a few people. There was thousands of people, like, in and around Brisbane coming to watch Villa play. And then I knew...
The paddle was hopping, yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought, like, Australia's nuts. Like, there are actual Villa fans here, and they've all come out, and they're, like, here to watch this game and stuff. Yeah, so then I met Paul, and then, as you said, we started discussing over a few drinks a podcast, and then all of a sudden, we had a podcast before the match started. Went and watched the game. Met El Mohammadi, because he was outside. They had the club shop outside, so you could take photos with El Mohammadi, which I did, because I was like being a fanboy and stuff. And then, that's how we all met at the pub, just having a few beers and just having a few chopping up about Villa.
And that's it. And yeah, a year later, here we are creating the podcast.
And that's right. And I also remember Gary, because Gary was there and top bloke, and but he's not even a Villa fan.
Yeah, he's a Liverpool fan.
He just came into beer from here the weekend. I text him there because he'd be a good mate of mine here, and I just texted him and said, "Oh, I'm going off to Brisbane for the week. Again, he's watch the Villa. Come?" He's like, "Yeah, I'll come." We just went down to beer. And like the night before I met G, we went to the Pig and Whistle in King Square. There was like massive session in there as well on the Friday night or the Saturday night, the night before the game. They had a few people there. They had Peter Witt there, I think, and they had a couple of more. And I didn't get, I was packed that time. I didn't get to meet him. But there was a big atmosphere. They'd done a big, massive photo of all the Villa fans on King. Is it King Square? Is it Tess in Brisbane? Is it where the Pig and Whistle is?
Yeah,
about four pig and whistles in Brisbane, but it was one of them.
Yeah, there's one right in the city, and I barely.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
But that's also a good venue to catch up with a few people there.
All right, lads. Just I've got a couple of quick fire questions I want to get out to you boys, just to paint a picture of you as Villa supporters. So I've got four questions. I want you to answer the questions and give a little bit of detail behind it, just so we can find out, you know, a little bit more about yourself. So I'm gonna hit you up first, Spud. Who was your favorite player, Villa player, growing up?
Ah, that's easy. There's only one man for me, and that's Mr. Paul McGrath. He was my first hero. I must say I was a huge fan of Dean Saunders too as a kid, because he was a goal scorer for the time. But no, Paul McGrath was my man and still is to this day.
Love it. Favorite Villa manager?
Ooh.
This is it.
Whoa.
I mean, it's easy for me to say Unai Emery, but like, you know, I can't say that because I've loved Villa for a long time before Unai Emery came. I'm sure at some point he will be, but for now... My probably most enjoyable time following Villa would have been under the Martin O'Neill era. I thought we had a fantastic team. Competitive in every game, just actively trying to score goals every game, pace on the wings, brilliant midfield. I had come at a period as well where we had been good, bad. So under Gregory and O'Leary, whereas he came in to be consistently top six for three seasons in a row. Some brilliant players too, who all went on to have some fantastic careers, like Gareth Barry, James Milner, Ashley Young, Big John Carew. How could we forget him? Even Gabby Agbonlahor at the time. I think it's very sad in many aspects of how some Villa fans view Gabby Agbonlahor now because of what happened towards the end of his career. But there was a time that Gabby Agbonlahor was absolutely brilliant for us, and I loved watching him play himself and Young just tearing up that left side. You know, I'd have to say the Martin O'Neill era for me personally.
And then the next one, mate. What was your first Villa game that you attended? And can you remember much about it?
I can't remember the first Villa game I attended because I was quite young, to be honest with you. The first one, actually, that I have full proper memory of, I'd say, after moving over here, I think would probably be when I went back for the opening day for the Villa and Everton a few years ago. I was quite young for a lot of the other ones, like, you know, I probably went to Goodison Park more than Villa Park as a kid, to be honest.
was that the Everton game that was that the one Diego Carlos did his Achilles? Was it that game?
Yeah. I flew back as well in 2018 for the Villa and Fulham playoff final. I flew back from
Australia. There you go.
Yeah. But I had attended games before that, but I was young, you know. the Villa Fulham playoff final. Yeah, I flew 3,000 miles or whatever it was to see us lose 1-0, but it's still probably the best result in our recent history, to be honest, because that was the result that stopped us going up to the Premier League under Dr. Joy, because who knows where we'd be now. So
yeah,
100%. And my last one, mate, your favourite Villa kit.
There's two. Whoa. The 94 Coca-Cola Cup final season, that's one that sticks in the Muller. An iconic jersey, classic. I actually have it, bought it as a retro kit that I'm going to frame. I never wore it. I still haven't framed it, but I bought it as a retro from the Villa store there a couple of years ago. But when I build my bar out the back of the house, I'm going to frame it and put it up on the wall. McGrath 5 in the back. An honourable mention as well as to the one you're wearing there, the promotion year. Mm. I love the Luke Roper promotion year. I love that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of jerseys kind of remind you of success as well. You know, like they're not just nice jerseys, but they remind you of a positive time. It's very rare you're going to say a jersey was lovely when we got relegated. You look at that jersey on you and it just reminds me of that 10-game run under Dean Smith. Yeah. I look at that and it reminds me of that Dean Saunders scoring those two goals against United in the Coca-Cola Cup final 94. There's a couple of others, obviously, but I'm sure you'll talk about them.
Yeah. All right, Tess, over to you, mate.
Favorite player growing up? I'm going to go with, it's really hard because, as I said, I kind of fell in love with Villa through watching people like Tony Daly and stuff. But at the time, and we were having some really, really good success, I really liked Gabby. I thought Gabby was destined for a lot of success. I felt like he had the ability to progress his game from where it was. You know, apart from being that really quick runner, I thought that he could progress his game. And I really just enjoyed watching. You know, you'd be watching the game and then, you know, Gabby's going through, you're like, Gabby! And then you're like, you go nuts. I also really, really like Benteke as well, when he came. I know he was there for a short period of time, but yeah, I really like Benteke. I'm going to go with Gabby. I'll just go with Gabby because otherwise I'm going to be here all day choosing about 4 or 5.
I always think that Gabby in his prime, because he was such a good strike partner to have, if we had had a prolific strike partner for him, we've put Heskey and John Crew up with him, good players, good at what they do, but they were never that 25 goal a season. I'd like imagine if we had had Benteke in his prime up there with Gabby in his prime, you know, because Gabby used to do so much work. If he could have just had a prolific striker next to him, you know. If only we had got Falco.
It's all right. Messi's coming in a couple of weeks.
And your favorite Villa manager, Tez?
I've been thinking about this the whole time. I think under Martin O'Neill as well. The reason I think for Martin O'Neill was just the brand of football, as Spud was saying, like, there was one game where we played Chelsea, I think it was, and they absolutely smashed us, but we just didn't care, and we just kept trying to attack all the time. But Martin O'Neill brought this kind of enthusiasm, and you would talk to him, you'd hear the press conferences afterwards, and he'd just, like, speak to people in a certain way and, encourage the players, like, on camera. And I think there was one time where he had Gabby next to him, you know, he's like, what about your hat-trick against Man City or something like that, you know, because trying to make sure he plays him up a bit. And so Martin O'Neill, I really liked him character, and we were doing good under him. We had three top six finishes. It was a good time to watch Villa. It was a really good time to watch Villa.
It was.
I really, really enjoyed it. I'm gonna go with Martin O'Neill as well.
Nice. Although
Unai is like, it's, I mean, it's.
Yeah,
it's we can't say Unai. It's the easy answer because we all that's where it's going to end up eventually. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Can you remember your first Villa game, Tess?
I think so. I've only been to a few games because while I was down in London, I didn't get a chance to really go up and didn't have an avenue to get tickets. I think my very first football game that I went to was at Old Trafford. And I got taken there by when I was on like a school holiday or something when I was really young. Went up there with my best friend Hayley and like her folks and her dad and her brother got tickets to go and see Man United at Old Trafford. So that was my very, very first actual game in a stadium. But I think if I'm not, you guys might be able to correct me because I'm really bad with time. But I went to the game where we got Mourinho the sack. So I remember sitting in the Trinity Road stand. And I think Zach Knight scored that day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Did Gabby score that day? Zach Knight definitely scored that day because I think a couple of games afterwards, Mourinho got the sack or something from Chelsea. So I was at that game. And then I also went to the game where we bought Darren Bent in. I think he was a new signing for us and we beat Manchester City maybe 1-0. Darren Bent scored the goal.
Yeah, 1-0. Darren Bent scored. That was in January, wasn't it? Yeah. Was that under Julia? That would have been under Gerard Houllier.
And that was my first time sitting in the whole end as well.
Oh, nice.
So I was quite low down in the whole end, but I just like I could hear them behind me, man. It was just absolute lunatic singing songs and stuff like that. And I remember even walking down, like walking to Villa Park and stuff, you know, like you can see all the roads blocked off and people are walking on the streets and stuff. And you just like see other Villa fans and like you just want to say hello to everyone. You just say hello to people as you pass them all. Yeah, let's go, mate. Come on. We're gonna... You know, so those experiences for both times I went with my partner one time and I went with some other friends on the second time. And one of the best experiences I've ever had. And we were performing well at those times as well. So that helped a lot. Didn't get to go to any games sort of after the bad period of time after Martin O'Neill. You know, that was a different time for us.
Mm. Yeah.
And what about your favourite Villa kits, Tez?
Oh, Luke Roper all day. Luke Roper ones all day. They just had something special about them. Something a bit different to what all the other clubs were doing. I like the design on them. They were just, they were just really, really nice. So I bought three. I've got them upstairs. And they're, my favourite kits.
Love it.
Those Luke Roper kits as well. Like, you know, I mean, at the time, it was something very unique. It was we had a Villa fan as captain, a Villa fan as manager, and a Villa supply kit. A Villa fan as a supply kit, like kit supplier, sorry. It's
unbelievable.
That doesn't happen in modern football, like, but we had it for a couple of years, you know. Amazing.
Yeah.
Right now, yourself, sir.
My favorite player growing up was Mark Bosnich, fellas. So
Aussie flavor.
It is
Australian.
As a kid, I always wanted to play in goals, but I'm still quite short now. So I was never going to be a goalkeeper, but I always wanted to be a goalkeeper. I remember my grandmother buying me the Mark Bosnich gloves one Christmas that I was made up. So, yeah, Bozzy for me, brilliant keeper for us over the years. I was gutted when he left. Hell of a character, as we know. But, brilliant goalkeeper for us back in the day. And that's when I was getting into the Villa and we were doing really well. Favorite Villa manager, I've gone for John Gregory. I loved that period under John Gregory, playing three at the back. Some of the players in the teams that Gregory had, you know, the Southgates, Alan Wrights, Ian Taylor, these guys floating around, just, you know, part of my childhood. And I loved watching the way we went about it under John Gregory. And I love John Gregory. I love his interviews while he was at the Villa and the one since, and the famous one about Dwight York is there, obviously, when he wanted to ask to leave and he said if he had, he would have shot him, but
that's some quote, isn't it?
That's brilliant. And so for me, and Martin O'Neill's a close second, but obviously the circumstances in which he left the club on the eve of the season, I can't remember what season it was, what the year that was, but
2011.
So that kind of puts a bit of an asterisk and sours it a little bit for me. So I've gone for John Gregory, but as we've all said, Unai Emery's definitely going the right way, isn't he? So we'll watch that space. My first Villa game was one of the school trips. It was 98 and it was Villa Spurs at Villa Park. And it was Dion Dublin's debut, actually. Brilliant game. We went 3-0 up. We were 3-0 up by half time. And then they scored two in the second half and it was a bit nervy to finish, which is a sign of things to come, really, wasn't it? Villa.
Good introduction to Villa, yeah.
Yeah. But I just remember being there and you know, November, so it gets dark a bit earlier in England at that time. And I remember the game finished. Dublin scored two on his debut. Collymore got the other one, and I think we were top of the league at the time. And I remember being in the crowd towards the end, as the final whistle went, and we were leaving. All the Villa fans are singing, you know, "We are top of the league. We are top of the league." And yeah, just a brilliant time to be a Villa supporter at that point. And unfortunately, we didn't hang on. But I think we were top at Christmas, and yeah,
top at Christmas that year.
Yeah, and faded away then. So that was my first Villa game. Like I said, I try and get back every 2 years to Wales, and I try and get up to a game. But not easy with these distances. Mm. But my favorite Villa kit comes from that period as well, is the AST or AST Computers kit. So like the 96 kits where we had the
colors.
Yeah, the collars, and we had the dark blue away kit. And obviously the claret home kit. And I remember us beating Arsenal in I think it was the League Cup away. We drew at Highbury, I believe. And then I remember Yorkie and Tommy Johnson scoring in those dark blue kits. And I love those kits personally. I've got a replica one upstairs. I used to have all my old Villa kits at home, but my mum at one point had a big clear out years ago, and a lot of those kits got binned, and I'm devastated. Oh.
That was the year they got relegated. She binned a lot.
I don't want these jerseys in my house anymore.
That year, yeah, the 96 jersey, because they had the AST computers. You had the dark blue, you had the claret and blue, and you had the white one.
The white one too, And I just... That kit for me is like, I remember just, you know, Big Hugo at the back, Southgate was floating around, Alan Wright.
Paul McGrath. That was under Brian Little, 96, yeah. Great team.
And you just see some of the players who were in that team and getting around. Yorkie, you know, York is still, as I was growing up, probably my second favourite player, Dwight York. Just hell of a player for us.
Of all the players we lost over the years, that was the one that hurt me the most. That was a kind of really impressionable kid at that time. I couldn't believe it. And then for him to go to United, for the next generation, obviously, the newer generation, it's Grealish. For me, it was York. That was the one that killed me.
And the success he had with, you know, Andy Cole and Dwight York at United, that was really hard to watch because they went on to win everything, really, didn't they? And what could have been if he'd have stayed at Villa and we'd have built around him. But same for me, mate. I still pains me.
I was going to say, I've still got hard feelings about it. the way that he met. Because that was a really important time.
Yeah, it was. And growing up with all United fans, as the three of us alluded to there, it's a PTSD that has never left me. You know, even this season, in our best year, we still lost back both games to United. It's incredible. The worst they've been for years, the best we've been for years, and they still beat us twice. It's just something that'll never leave me, I don't think, like that.
And my phone rings red hot. The messages are going off overnight when we play United, and then we've got mates back home. We still message, so yeah.
Whenever we play United, I always have to think, should I check out the bookies? Because I'm pretty sure they're going to win a penalty. For me, I don't know, every time we play Man United, I always think they're going to get a penalty or something. Like, I don't know why that happens. I always think,
100%, or we're going to go 2-0 up and throw it away. Like, the amount of times that has happened, it's just that's unbelievable. Guys, so we've let our listeners know kind of who we are, what to expect from us going forward. Of course, we have a lot of stuff in the pipeline, guests, match reviews, previews, giveaways. We just wanted to do this episode just to give the listeners a kind of an idea who we are going forward, so we don't keep reverting back to the questions and stuff. Also, I'm sure we'd like to say to the listeners, guys, any content you'd like to see in the pod, hit us up on our socials. Any guests you think would suit, all that kind of stuff. We want you to be as interactive as you can, guys, because this is a podcast for all of you. Like, this is what we do it for the listeners. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast up to now. I hope you'll tune in again for next week, and it's going to be more regular now. Myself and Rhino, just like I said, a big thank you to Tess as well. Tess has put in all merciful amount of work in the last couple of weeks building all the technology side of it, and we really appreciate it, Tess. You know, like, you put a lot of hours into it and made sure everything was right before we recorded, you know, so we really appreciate that, buddy. Anything you guys want to say Anything you guys want to say to wrap up?
Yeah, just thank you to both of you, actually, because as you know, I was really keen to get this venture going.
Yeah.
But also want to reach out to all the Australian supporters as well, because we are one family as Aston Villa supporters, and would be really, really good to be connecting with the Australian Villa fan clubs, the Lions clubs. We want to interact with you and hopefully do some join-ups and watch games together and stuff, and even have a few of you on to have a chat with us about your Villa journeys as well. And thanks to you two for just putting up with me for the last couple of weeks, sending you messages, and demands, and can I have this? Can I have that? And let's do this and do this. And shall we do this and do this? So thank you both for putting up with me. I'm just really, really excited to get this venture going. And just one more shout out, if you don't mind, to Neil and Paddy from the Liverpool McGrath podcast. These two fellas work really hard at what they do for their podcast channel. But they were so brilliant, because I reached out to Neil, you know, and we've reached out to Paddy to get some sort of advice and some information for us starting our podcast. And I just want to thank them, because they've been really instrumental in giving us some really sound advice on how we can get this podcast going. So
100%.
Yeah. For me, lads, it's a Champions League season next season, so I'm really looking forward to covering our first foray into the Champions League together. And you know, and like you guys have already said, is you know, linking up with other Villa supporters down under and getting everyone involved with the pod and getting questions in or you know suggestions in. So I'm just really excited for the new season. Villa are in the best place they've been since I've been supporting Villa. So it's just a really exciting time all around, and can't wait to cover it.
100%, guys. Well, lads, till next week, up the Villa.
Up the Villa. Villa.
I'm trying to switch the recording off. I can edit this bit out.